Second Rank Rewards. To him that overcometh will I give of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name having been written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2, verse 17. This is the promise to Pergamos believers. All believers are overcomers in some measure, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4. The nature and measure of the reward is determined by the measure of the overcoming. Only those who overcome all things can hope to inherit all things. Revelation 21, verse 7. Inasmuch as some fail to overcome fully, of course their rewards will be limited. Be it remembered that manna was Israel's food in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, but old corn was their food in Canaan, Joshua 5, verses 11 and 12. As a reminder of their diet in the wilderness, a pot of manna was taken along when they went into Canaan, Exodus 16, 33. A checkered Christian experience, one having only some victories marred by defeats, is typified by Israel in the wilderness. Such saints have not learned Christ as the old corn or the true bread from heaven. They do not actually know him in resurrection life and power, else they would not resort to their own resources. They know him only as manna, that is, as an indistinct portion, a what is it. This accounts for their defeats. The real victorious Christ from heaven is hidden from them. Therefore, Christ as hidden manna will be their portion hereafter. Only as we know him and appropriate him now will we know him in the ages to come. However, everyone will be satisfied in his sphere. The new name on a white stone affords similar instruction as the above. The Cephos stone was used for counting and voting by the Greeks. When cast into an urn, it either expressed approval or disapproval, commendation or condemnation of the one whose name it bore. Sometimes condemnation was indicated by a hole in the stone. White speaks of purity or freedom from sin and agrees with the white robes of Revelation 7. A new name having been written speaks of the new creation. As a reward for having overcome in this order, the overcomer shall receive from the judge the unmarred assurance of being in the new creation. The Lord casts the ballot of approval into the urn of his own reckoning concerning his child. Wondrous grace! The reward of the Sardian overcomers is joined with the above inasmuch as they are in the same rank with the Pergamites. The Lord declares, "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment." Revelation 3, verses 4 and 5. Note the correspondence here with the white stone above. The only difference between the Pergamite and Sardian overcomers is this. The Pergamite falls asleep in Jesus, and the Sardian lives until he comes. Hence, each receives the same reward as the other. Further, "And in no wise will I blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 3, verse 5. This by no means implies that if people are once saved, but do not overcome, they will be lost. Legalism blots out the names of those who do not overcome and pronounces them heretics and lost forever. But Christ, the judge who looks upon the heart, declares in strongest terms that he will in no wise blot out their names. Nay, he votes them in by the stone of his own reckoning. In the same emphatic term, he declares that in the coming eternal temple, pillar saints shall in no wise go out anymore. Revelation 3, verse 12. Persecutors cast our names out from the world's honor rolls and from religious records, but God assures us that he will never blot our names out, for we have eternal life. An interesting contrast. The reward of the first rank overcomers is far greater than that of the second. The first becomes something, but the second only receives something. The first is made a pillar. The second receives a stone. The first receives three great names written upon himself. The second receives only his own name written on a stone. Oh, let us learn Christ as our all-sufficient present life, feed on him continually, and walk, work, and war in his strength, that we may not miss the full victor's reward. Let us not be content with the hope of receiving Pergamite and Sardian rewards only. Remember that whether we wake or sleep in Jesus, our remuneration is determined by faith's estimate and appropriation of Christ. Those who fall asleep in Pergamos will be raised to meet those who shall be translated from Sardis. Third rank rewards. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:21. It is self-evident that the full victors overcome the Laodicean condition, lukewarmness, to the uttermost, of course. But here is a special reward to a special crowd. This letter stands at the last because it expresses the last sad state of Protestantism. Lukewarmness is one of the most subtle and formidable obstacles to the believer. There is a company who does not appear with the full overcomers, and yet do overcome this foe. Lukewarmness lies like a crouching thief at the very root of a victorious life. Lukewarmness cries, "Certainly it is right and noble to be a Christian, but it is not necessary to be extreme. Be quiet, be sober, be easy, have a good time. Do not make a fool of yourself. Be respectable, be sensible. Oh yes, be an earnest worker, give freely, but do not be narrow. There is good in all churches, in every religion." Such is the so-called kind and wise counsel of Laodiceanism. It does not want real life and power. It ignores the Christ of crucifixion and the Christ of miracles and power. It ignores the simplicity of Christ and the supremacy which belongs to him, and exalts means, methods, and carnal men. It loves form, foam, fuss, flowers, fables, flattery, and feasibility. Oh, how the Laodicean shudders and shrieks before the living, piercing truth that is pointed, practical, and powerful. How it winces before the reality of real conviction, real salvation, real joy in the Holy Spirit, real divine dynamite, real ecstatic glory. In short, real righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. Hence, the overcomer is like God himself. He spews this condition out of his mouth. He dare not yield to it. He cannot endure it. He meets it everywhere, but greets it never. He stands alone, a misunderstood, reviled fanatic, a tower of living faith in the real living God and in the lovely but rejected Christ of the Bible. Yes, the overcomer stands alone here, but he shall be with Christ forever. He has no certain dwelling place here, but he shall sit yonder. Let us notice the exact character of his sitting. The Lord Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 23, verse 18. But he is not yet using it because the Lord's day has not yet begun. Christ is not sitting as a king on his Father's throne, but as an intercessor. He is perpetuating his high priestly career. He is serving his people as subordinate to the Father, not coordinate with him. These overcomers of Laodicea will reign with Christ as subordinate to him. The bride will reign conjointly with Christ, even as it is written of the first pair. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them," Adam and Eve together, "have dominion." Genesis 1, verse 26. But that man and woman were the figure of who was to come, even the second Adam, Christ, and the second Eve, Christ's bride. For it is written of Christ's bride, "If we suffer or endure with him, we shall also reign together with him." 2 Timothy 2:12. Suffering is the price of reigning. By the advent of the Holy Spirit, the great revival in Jerusalem was a revival of kingdom hopes. The 12 apostles and the 7 deacons of Acts were full overcomers for that time. They rose above the lukewarmness of Israel. They won the laurels among the lukewarm or so-called just people at that time. They became the connecting link between the kingdom and the church. Likewise, the 144,000, of whom those early workers were the first fruit, will become the connecting link between the church and the kingdom in the beginning of the next age. They will be the full overcomers for that time. The 144,000 are the five wise virgins of Matthew 25, or the manly son of Revelation 12. Let the reader consider Paul's great conflict or care for the Laodiceans, Colossians 2:1. Those who overcome the lukewarm condition at that time will be a special company. The present decline among believers points to that day. The slumber of Matthew 25 verses 5 and 6 is already stealing over us. Some are yielding to it. When these shall hear the final call to be zealous and repent of their sluggishness, because the Lord loves them and longs to sup with them, and when they hear the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom and his bride are coming, come ye forth to meet them," then they will arise and trim their lamps and hasten to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church, save the feet portion, his feet, Zechariah 14:4, will pass to glory in the first, second, and third ranks. Fourth rank, rewards. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. The description of the judge, his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, together with the phrase, "unto the end," shows at once that Thyatira passes far into the tribulation period. Some of her people pass entirely through that period. The last hours of that time will be the great day of his wrath, Revelation 6:17. The phrase, "my works," is a great contrast with "the word of my patience" in the Philadelphia church. If saints observe the latter, they will not need to experience the former. They will be kept out of the dark hour of trial through which the other must inevitably pass. The rewards of fourth-rank overcomers are that they stand on Mount Olivet, Zechariah 14:4. There are three items in this reward. First, our Lord will conquer the nations, Psalm 2, verse 9, and rule them through the fourth-rank overcomers. Compare Revelation 19:15. Jesus will reign from heaven, his bride reigning conjointly with him. The 144,000, the man-child, will reign subordinately to him, and the overcomers from the Thyatira condition will reign subordinately to the 144,000. God only knows who will be the last ones counted in the church. The second item of this reward, "and I will give him the morning star," Revelation 2:28. Comparing this with Numbers 24:17 and 2 Peter 1:19 and Revelation 22:16, we learn that this promise is to Israel alone. The morning star, or day star, is the harbinger of the day. In the dark closing end of the tribulation period, Jesus will appear to the saints as the morning star, an assurance of the millennial day just ahead when he will come to Israel as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, Malachi 4, verse 2. The third item in this reward, the last to ascend. However, during the reign of Antichrist, some believers will be slain because of their testimony to the truth. See Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, and Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3, and Revelation 20, verse 4. These will stand in triumph upon the sea of glass. The two witnesses of Revelation 11 will probably be among this company. The last ones slain, Revelation 13:15 and 14:13, will possibly be caught up to heaven without being buried, even like the two witnesses. These are believing Jews, the remnant of her seed, that is, of the woman in the wilderness, Revelation 12, verse 17. See Revelation 15. They also shall live and reign with Christ.